good to go. Excellent. Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening and watching from. And today we have an amazing guest. I have Jennifer LeClaire Avery with us, and she's coming in to save us today because she works with teens. And just before we started the recording, I was talking about how there is a need for teens, and there's so many people who are kind of they try to stay away from working with teens because it is a complex work. And Jennifer does amazing work with that. I'm going to pass the mic over to her very, very soon, but I'm just really happy to have you on, Jen, just to be able to talk a little bit about what is really going on with our teens and how we can show up to support them. So before we get started with all the your wisdom, can you kind of to tell you tell us your story about how you got to where you are today?
Absolutely. So thank you for having me on your podcast today. It's being Friday morning, just before Christmas and the full moon and all that kind of stuff that's happening. It just kind of ties in beautifully with the big emotions and the craziness that happens. And I'm so excited to be here. So thank you for that introduction. So how did I get started with Healthy Roots? Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's a journey that may take a few minutes, but it's an important journey to walk you through because Healthy Roots, the way I look at it, was actually it actually started when I was about 13. And I'm going to explain how this kind of took place. So when I was young, I really struggled in school. I wasn't one of those children that really kind of conformed to traditional schooling. I had a lot of emotions, just like every teen. And believe it or not, when I was about 13, 14, my hair, this color, I actually went this color when I was 13 years old. So I have a, I was predisposed, pre, like I had that genetic kind of, I don't know, I don't want to use defect, but I just kind of went white. And so by the time I was about 16, I had snow white hair. So I had a lot of teasing and a lot of things going on. Physically and emotionally. And so I had a really hard time getting through the high school years. And you know, not that I made wrong choices or anything, but I found that the peers that I gravitated to were always in distress, and I always wanted to save the day. So I was one of those kids that really gravitated to wanting to be a counselor or a therapist and kind of guided through that. And what happened because of my challenges in school, I was never able to go into post-secondary the way I really wanted to. I just never had the marks for that type of thing. So I kind of landed in a hairdressing program, believe it or not, because I was really distressed about my hair. And from there, I hated the hairdressing industry in the fact where I wasn't really, that wasn't really my calling. But what I did love about hairdressing is just the connection that I had with people. And as I was navigating the world of, you know, cosmetology and that type of thing, I decided that I was going to open up a private vocational school, and I was going to work with young adults who'd never conformed to traditional schooling. And I wanted to create this school. Not only did I give them the trade, but I wanted to give them life skills, and I wanted to give them the ability to become resilient and face life the way, you know, it should be faced. And not to suggest that if you don't go through traditional schooling and that kind of stuff, you won't become successful. And so as my years progressed, I did a lot of life skill-based training and coaching with young adults. And I opened up a, then I started to see the transformation in these young adults, which then led me to making some programs for younger girls. So I have a girls chat program that runs grade 5, 6, 7, 8, and I wanted to give them the life skills and the knowledge that they needed so that they could navigate, you know, just young adulthood and in teens. And then from there, I had decided that it was, oh, I'm going more recently. I went finally back to school when I had my adult brain and I was mature and ready to take on the world. And I went back to school to become an addiction counselor. And from there, I opened up Healthy Roots. So Healthy Roots, actually, I kind of took my whole life in the direction because it was never really linear. It was kind of messy. I had lots of detours around and about, and one thing led me to another. And then next thing you know, I took all my experience for the last maybe 25 years. And I said, I need to build a company around life skill-based training, resilience training, and also being a counselor. So I actually have been doing this work forever, from as young as I can remember. So it's kind of an interesting take where healthy roots rooted. And now I teach children, healthy roots and pathways to better choices and becoming resilient. So that's kind of where healthy roots started about 13, and now I'm still in it. So I feel like it's been with me forever.
That's amazing. That is a true calling when it comes
Think so.
to, and no matter which detour you're taking, it leads you right back to this. So I have a similar experience with working with children. I kind of move away from it and then it pulls you back in. I love that. So it's really deep rooted.
Very. My healthy roots are really rooted in what I do. Yes.
That's amazing. I'm going to start off right with the first question I think most parents who have teens kind of worry about, because there is a part, and it's a healthy part of the development in our teens, where they kind of pull away from the parents. Now they're trying to figure out their own identity, become their own person, make their own choices. They're pulling away to become independent adults. And this is where we tend to worry as parents to say, is my child pulling back because that's what they're doing? Or are they completely disconnecting? There's a little fine line between I've lost my connection with my child, or are they just being a teen? Can you kind of let us know a little bit, how can we tell the difference if it is just our child being a teen, or if there's something more there that we should be worried about?
That's a really great question. And I have to say that probably every call that I get, whether it's an inquiry call or whether I'm working with a client or a family case, that is a common question that comes up almost on the daily. And it is a very important question because we don't want to discount when there is something serious, but we also have to give them their autonomy and we also have to give them their space to grow and learn, right? So where do you find the line? So I came up with this really interesting analogy because I do a lot of visuals just to make it a little bit easier for parents to kind of get a handle on things. So I use this concept of wash, rinse, clean, repeat. So let me just take you through that.
Love
So
that.
you and I think most families can relate to the washing machine, and that's why I use that. So the way I present this to parents is, when we're looking at doing laundry, we're sorting, right? Whether it's blacks, whites, towels, that kind of stuff. And so with kids or teens, they need time to sort out what is healthy, what's not healthy, friendships, where they want to, their hobbies, and that kind of stuff. So that sorting thing becomes very important, and we have to allow them to be able to do that sorting. So once we sorted our laundry, we need to put it into the machine, right, for the wash cycle. So as it's washing, just like any machine, that's washing just takes time. So when you see your teen going into disappearing into a bedroom, it's just you have to kind of look at it like they're just doing the wash, right? It's just they just need their time away. They just need to process, and even the spin cycle. Like they might be spinning in their own little way behind closed doors, but they're just kind of working through the spin cycle, the rinse cycle. They're kind of doing everything that they need to do. But once the laundry is done, it's clean, right? And so if you see your child disappearing for periods of time, but then comes out of the room seeming happy, somewhat connected, making engagements with you in the kitchen, making eye contact, seeming somewhat decent, then I consider that child to be clean. They went through the whole wash, rinse, spin, clean cycle. Okay.
Right.
And so, if you're seeing that child's personality still forming, showing up at family gatherings, still connected with friends, is still interested in their hobbies, but they're disappearing through the wash cycle and clean cycle, but coming back, then everything's clean. I always say to parents, they're clean. Everything's good. Don't interfere. However, as we know with the washing machine, sometimes it won't spin or we get bubbles or it gets all ex there's a lot of explosion, and then we're like, oh, now we have to fix the washing machine because it's not working, right? And so when I look at when they're not coming out behind closed doors and things are kind of getting bubbly or messy in the washing machine, that's when we really need to look at maybe there's more going on. So if they're looking very much, their friends are not really in there, in the vicinity of, coming in, they're not going to see friends. If they're not engaged or not interested in the hobbies that they used to be, they say, I don't care anymore. They often describe, I have chronic headaches. I've got sore stomachs. Tummies and sore tummies are huge, huge when it comes to anxiety or anything that they're struggling with. When they don't want to have an appetite, if they're not sleeping very well, if their moods are consistently not great for, more than 2 weeks, that's when we really need to step in and say, it's time to look at the washing machine and we need to sort of figure out what's going on. Is it the spin cycle that's not working? Is it the, is it just not rinsing properly? That type of thing. And that's when we need to call in. Well, first of all, we need to kind of deal with the fact that we've recognized that the machine is not working, but we also then, do we need backup support? Like, do we need a service call here for a professional and that kind of stuff? So that's kind of how I use the analogy with when I'm working with parents to kind of describe what to look for or what not to look for. And it seems to kind of help them have a better picture of what to, when to step away and when to step in. That's kind of
Yeah.
what I usually use. Yeah.
I love that analogy. I'm a very visual person that just kind of all clicked together. That was amazing because I just recently had to fix my washing machine. So I know exactly now, like, okay, we need to fix this. I love that. And I also like the way that you, when you're talking about the child, if the machine is not working right, how they just kind of start to isolate a little bit more in the sense of everything that shows up in their life. So when they start, when the social circle becomes smaller and smaller, that's usually a sign that there's something a lot more going on that you need to take care of.
And there's a huge that's a huge indicator because they are teens are built to be social creatures, right? They're not built to be in isolation. So that is probably one of the number one indicators. I mean, there's the sleep, there's the mood swings, and that type of thing, but most teens, I mean, generally they're built to be social creatures by nature, so that's a red flag right there for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a hard one to take as a parent. You want your child to be
Yes.
happy and have lots of friends, but you just don't know how. That kind of leads me to the next question, because I mean, the signs that you were talking about, that social circle, is that usually is a sign of depression or something that could develop into something more. But how parents don't know how to step in. Like, there's a different role that parents need to take when it comes to teens. You're not that authority figure that comes in and, do this, do that, do this. You need to let them figure the things out on their own. So, what is the best role that parents can take to help their teen? And when is it, when is it time to step in and start taking action?
Yeah, and that's a tricky one because teens generally their first reaction is to step away because they do not want the parent to kind of interfere when in fact it's the most crucial time when a parent needs to step in. So I use an acronym. Again, I have lots of little things in my toolbox, but I use LOVE. Okay, so LOVE stands for the first thing you want to do is you want to lead with observations as a parent. So you have to take a step back and observe that washing machine, right? And so you have to observe what is really going on. Are they not, is their appetite not present? Chronic sore tummies. This is the lead from LOVE. We're leading with observations. How long are they in their rooms now? How come there's no friends showing up? That type of thing, right? Being very short fused. So that's the first thing we have to do in love is we have to lead with observations, okay? From there, we need to open the scene. And this is the tricky one with opening the scene because you can't just storm in because you're ready to have a conversation with them. And this is probably the hardest one to pick in the open, like open the scene, because you need to set the stage because they don't want to have a lecture. Because the minute you lecture or get too overwhelmed with maybe what's going on, and you're showing your own anxieties around or wanting to fix them really quickly, they're going to pull right back, right? So often I say when we open the scene, great times would be in a car, because that's a it's not. You're not sitting in their room and they're like, when is my mom or dad going to get out of here? So you're in a neutral space. They're not having to make eye contact with you. So they're looking out at the, or even going for a walk. But the opening the scene is the hardest one, I often say to parents, to figure out when is the best time to have this conversation. And then, as we go through the acronym LOVE, we want to, once we've opened up the scene, we want to validate. And that's the first thing we want to do, right? We want to validate their emotions. And but we want to say it in a phrase that kind of relates to them, like, this must really suck how you're feeling, instead of getting too fluffy or too emotional, because sometimes teens don't like when you get too much. But if you can just validate that they're going through a rough patch, and even using language like this must really suck, or this mustn't really feel good. And then the last part of the love part is you need to extend your patience as a parent, because it's not going to be on the first attempt that you're going to get everything out of them, right? So patience, extending the patience that you need to find in you to keep revisiting the acronym LOVE, because you have to kind of repeat that over and over again until we kind of get to a place where there's no judgment and they have the ability to communicate and it's free speaking and there's no setbacks there. So it is a challenge to do that, but if you've kind of followed my LOVE acronym, so lead with observation, you want to open the scene, you want to validate their emotions, and then you want to extend your patience and not try and fix everything right away. You generally get good results from the teens, because at the end of the day, they do want to open up to you. It's just how you're doing it is how they repel you. So if you come at it from the love perspective, it generally works.
Yeah, that's good. I like that because it's just the opening up the scene sometimes is where we get cut off because we
Yes.
come in barging in and say, okay, we need to fix this now. This is, I know we mean
Exactly.
well. I mean, I've been guilty of that, but I know we mean well, but that's what is sure to close the door on them and to respect their space. Their room
That's
is
right.
their safe space for them to be able to clean that. To do the wash. So it's so good to and it's not going to work on the first time. So we have to make sure that we need to build that trust. So it's such a good it's great advice. I'm taking notes as you're talking. I'm like, ooh, I like this. I really like this. We talked before when we in my previous conversation when we met about letting our teens fail. This is such a hard thing as a parent. Because we already know they're struggling. They're having enough to deal with. We want to try to help them out, make things easier. We may have struggled in our teen years and we know we don't want that for our kids. So we're trying to share our wisdom to help them. But why is it, in your opinion, that it is, it's not saying that we set them up to fail, but we have to let them take the lead on certain things. And if they fail, we're there to catch them. Why is that so important to unfortunately have to let that happen sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's another big point that needs to be kind of, put the elephant in the room. Let's just say there's not a parent in this world that wants to see their child fail. I mean, I don't think I've ever come across it, or the thousands of families I've worked with where I have a parent that says, yes, this is what I want to do. I want to see my child fail. We're built as parents to protect and to fix and to solve and right? That's kind of our role. So we never want to take that role away from a parent, because it's so deeply set into who they are that we can't really expect them not to lead that way right away. But what I can tell you is we don't need to fix everything. And I think that's the key, is everything. Because if you are always there to pick up the pieces, what ends up happening is you're not teaching resilience in children, right? Because you're the one that's doing the problem solving. You're the one that's just kind of guiding them, and they're just kind of going through the motions and they're not learning anything, right? And so when we let our teens fail, like safe fail, so I'm going to explain the two difference two different areas, because with teens, people think that they just we can't get them to fail at all. So there's this, there's the failing, and there's being this to make sure that they're safe. But when you let them fail, so if you're not that parent who is running their homework to school or their lunch to school, or you know, let's just say something happens in the community with the teacher or principal, and there's a discipline action that's put into place. I'm a big fan of having the community at large teach, you know, scenarios where they have to learn from their mistakes. So you shouldn't be showing up at the school trying to intervene and trying to protect your child. Like they should be able to fail in very simple situations like that. You know, if they miss the bus, well, then maybe just have them wait for the bus until they, or maybe they just have to walk 20 minutes home. So these are all little things that I encourage parents to let their children fail with the little things. Because why? What happens here is it teaches them how to problem solve, because we need to build the executive functioning in that prefrontal cortex to get them to figure out what is my next move, and not having mom or dad tell me what my next move is, right? It also teaches them those little things that I just described for failures. It also teaches them how to adjust, how to take a scenario and then how to readjust the scenario to work through the situation that they're up against. But it also teaches them, and this is the big one that I say to parents all the time, is it teaches them how to trust themselves. Because what's happening is if they don't trust themselves with their decisions and adjusting and that kind of stuff, that is where they're losing confidence and self-worth for who they are as individuals. So I always say lead with in your mind that you might be allowing them to fail with the small things, but you're teaching them how to trust, and trust builds confidence and resilience. So when you, sorry, when you kind of frame it like that, they are more, parents are more interested in possibly attempting these little tiny fails. Now, the big fails. So, this is where, unfortunately, as a parent, we need to step in, right? So, if you have a child who is, you know, tampering with substances, or possibly getting into, or you've seen, you know, kids getting into a car that they're speeding or drinking and driving, those kind of things, we have an obligation as parents to not allow them to fall into that kind of risky behavior for failing. You know, we have to set parameters, we have to set boundaries, we've got to set clear goals in those areas to keep them safe. So I'm not a big fan of letting them fail too hard, but to start the process by the little things, and then as they get through these little things, they become better little young adults. And then they actually, if you do that at the start, when it comes to the risky stuff, they've actually developed the problem-solving skills and the confidence to make better decisions, so they're not getting into that risky behavior. So I always get them to start very young through this, but they hesitate, but once they see the progress, they realize, okay, this is where it's this is the right thing to do.
I like that. It builds the trust that they need to know, but also that they can trust you to step in if ever they are really are in danger or in trouble or for the big stuff. I like that. To let them fail, but in a safe environment first, and then move from there. I like that. And hold them accountable for their actions. I like the example that you gave, as they didn't do their homework. Well, okay, so let them deal with the consequences of having to do extra work or have to retake the class if we need to. We don't want to, that's hard, but it's so important for them to be solid as all the adults later on. I
That's
like
right.
that. Yeah, I like that. And then the work that you do, we'll talk about your work afterwards, but you what I've seen you do is you really help parents nurture or solidify that connection with their teens. So that communication, that parent-teen connection that we are so worried we will lose. Is there something that parents could do today? I like to kind of have something tangible that people could start today, little habits we can build, that's things that parents could do today that would kind of nurture or create that environment where their teens feel safe to come to them to talk about things, or to listen to what the parents have to say.
So again, with my visuals, right? So I always say we need to be a co-pilot at this age. We need to stop being a traffic cop.
I
We
like
can be a
that.
traffic cop when they're young, which is, giving them their tickets and giving them their rules and teaching them the stop signs and, yield at the yellow. That is what we do. We are traffic cops when we raise young kids because we have to set the tone and they need to understand rules and that kind of stuff. However, when we get into, preteen into teens, if you are still using your traffic cop, kind of if you're leading as a traffic cop, that's gonna basically, they're going to just be rebellious and they're not going to, they're gonna, you're gonna be more, handing a lot more traffic tickets and speeding tickets and all that stuff because you're actually making them want to speed on the road. You're actually making them want to go through the stop signs. I think it's really important that we shift our thinking over to becoming a co-parent, a co-pilot. So what do co-pilots do? They sit beside them in the car. They're actually watching them navigate the stop signs and the speed limits and kind of coaching them through it, maybe getting out the GPS and figuring out from how to get to A to B. But they're the ones in the driver's seat and you're in the passenger seat right beside them, with gentle nudges, gentle, words and coaching, but you're not really, the police car on the side road, ready to give them, go after them because they're just going to speed and you're going to be in a car race, right? So that's always a good thing that I often say to parents is our days are numbered as traffic cops and we just need to become the co-pilot now in the cars with them so that they stay on the road safe and they have the directions, but you're beside them rather than enforcing the rules.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's a great visual. I love working with you because you speak to my brain. My brain works that way, so I've got like clear pictures. And being the traffic cop too, you're only paying attention to what they're doing wrong, right? You're
That's
not
right.
paying attention to what they're doing right. So that can create a bit of tension in our teens as well. I like that. I'm gonna keep that. I'm gonna use that on my own kids. Is there any advice you wish you would have had sooner to make your life easier that you'd like, let's say, you would love to give your kids to make their life
You
a little bit
know,
easier?
I wish when I at the beginning of this podcast, I kind of walked you through my journey, where I wish I had someone in my corner that told me that life is not linear and I don't have to do A and B equals C to be successful. I had to figure that all by myself and through my long journey. I always felt something was wrong. Where was I going wrong? Why wasn't this easy? And nobody ever, I think society, even in the school system, society kind of says you have to do A plus B equals C or you're not successful. And I could never do A plus B equals C. It just never worked. But the reality is I'm 50 years old. I'm very successful. It was messy. I had detours, lots of roadblocks. Nothing stopped me because I had the drive and the passion from inside. I had to find it from inside to get me where I need to go. But society and the people around me discounted all my detours and my roadblocks because they want me to be linear and life is not linear. And so now when I work with families, I try to instill if your child cannot meet the requirements of post-secondary, or if they cannot meet the requirements of this, that, and the other thing, it does not make them weak, broken. They just need to go a different way. They just need to take a healthier route and they will find themselves and to be proud of that direction. And I never had that when I was navigating my roots, and I had to find that within. So I think if someone was able to tell me that and give me the the confidence to say you're doing okay, even though you're off-roading right now, but you're still doing okay. I think that would have helped me feel more calm with my direction in life. I was always feeling like, what's wrong with me? So I think that's kind of, if I could give any advice to my younger self or to parents, I think that is, life is definitely not linear. It's messy, and that's okay. It's okay because they will find themselves. And I did, and I see it in the work that I do. They do eventually find themselves. You just have to let them do and figure it out.
Oh, that is great advice. And even people who are expecting it to be linear, that they're off-roading as well. So it's a, and the one thing that you said that got me was the, what's wrong with me? And that's pretty much the only thing that's going through our teens' head. It goes through our children as well, but in the teen years, I think it's even stronger. So it's to have that support to know it's okay. If we're taking a detour, it's still gonna get it. We're still moving forward. As
As long as
it's
you're
working.
moving forward, exactly. And
It's so
there's
important.
no rush. I mean, these young ones are getting out at 17 and they're expected to have everything sorted out. And if they don't have it sorted out, there's a lot of expectation. And I think I'm not suggesting that you give them the ticket to not, go in any direction. It's just, I think we just need to be able to guide them and recognize that they may not have all the answers yet, but it's coming. And when it does click and the passion and the direction is there, watch out. People will move forward. And yes, you have to definitely worry about them for, you don't want them to be in reverse, but I think there's just too much expectation in terms of making it all just perfect, and there's no such thing as perfect way to go.
That's the way I like to see it is as long as you're having fun, you're doing the and you're not hurting anybody, you're heading in the right direction. So that's good. It's a good advice. Yeah, that's good to share that with our teens as well, to say it's okay if you want to try this out, but make sure you have an end goal and you're
Exactly.
good to go.
As long as we're moving forward, right?
That's right.
That's the key is, and I'm a big believer in, there's never a problem. There's always a solution. And we may have to go around it a different way, but there's always a way through it, right? At the end of the day, you will find your place and who you're supposed to be. And once you do, watch out, world, here we come, kind of
Here
thing,
we
right?
come. That's right. It's coming rushing. I love it. I could talk to you all day, but this is so much. Like I say, you speak to my brain. I'm a visual person, so everything you say, it gives me a clear picture. But let's talk about what you've got coming. Do you have anything coming up? Any new programs? Anything new that's coming up soon?
Yes, I have to say that I decided to take the plunge just in the last probably 6 months and put a book together. Basically, the book actually started for parents, but then I flipped my thinking around and I thought, I think teens need to know what I needed to know through my journey in life, right? And so this book is what I learned in the 50 years of my messy world on how to navigate life, big emotions, how to deal with parents and in the world around us, because the reality is life is not easy. And you need the skills. And I had to figure it out all the wrong way and all the hard ways. And I just want to have a book for teens to read to give them a little bit of an edge moving into this world that's not fair and not easy, and have a book for them to refer back to of all the tips I wish I knew practically to get through this tough life of ours. And I had a fun time writing it. I brought a lot of humor and very relatable, practical stories about myself in the book. And I'm hoping to launch it in, oh, I'm hoping late winter, early spring is my launch date. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about this little project and baby of mine.
Yeah, that's a big project. It's not just a, there's a lot of planning in a book, and we're not really aware of it. Writing it is fun. Everything else around it, so much work. And such a great idea to have a book that speaks to the teens, because we have a lot of books on teens for parents, but for something for a teen to actually read and can relate to say, oh, okay, so this is normal. What I'm feeling right now, or what I'm doubting right now, or my parents are annoying me right now, this is normal. It's not just me. I like that. I can't wait to see it. You can have to, I'm gonna be using that book for sure with all of my clients. It's amazing. Before we go, I always have this one question that I like to ask the adults, because that's an question that we ask kids all the time. And I promised the little girl I would ask all of my guests this question. And that's, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Oh, I love that question.
I love
Okay,
it.
let me think about this. What do I want to be when I grow up? Well, I think I want to create a place where emotional skills are taught and valued, just like math and sciences in the
Oh.
school system. And I would like it to be called like the resilience academy or something like that. And I want to leave behind every single tool that I have learned. And oh boy, have I learned a lot of them. And I want to just give the world this knowledge in this resilience academy because it is a part of reality where we're losing sight of this. And we're at a crucial point where it's not as strong in the school system, and I just want to be able to provide that to the world. And I think that is what I want to be when I grow up, is a
Wow.
principal for this resilience academy or something.
I love that. That message went straight to my heart. It's so important to have those human skills. I call them, the people call them soft skills. I call them
Yeah,
human skills.
soft skills, life skills, because I'll tell you
Human
something.
skills.
That is really, at the end of the day, that is really where you can connect human to human. I mean, we all need math, we all need sciences, don't get me wrong, but something is shifting in our atmosphere, in our world, and we need to get control of that a little bit better, in order for survival. And I'm seeing it a lot, where we're losing sight of that. And it is actually a taught. Like, I actually teach that. It doesn't come naturally to the human, those soft skills. And when people actually have the skills to do it, they can move mountains, and they're just so inspired, and the confidence is just there. And it's something that people think that it's just natural for people to have it, but it's not.
No, it's not. It has to be learned. And it's kind of what my book touches on, is when there used to be a village, when it used to be that community around a child. That's how they would learn those human skills, to collaborate, to the empathy, the compassion, all of
That's
that,
right.
the resiliency, coming together on during hard times to help each other out, that kind of thing. But the hard skills that we teach at school, we can't do anything with them if we can't collaborate with other human
That's right.
beings. So it is a life skill that is important to teach, and we should have that in the schools. So I'm all for the Resiliency Academy there. I think it's amazing. That's
And
a
maybe you can
big.
be the VP. I'll be the president. You can be the principal, and you can be the VP.
I'll be the VP. I'll be the cheerleader. I'll be the mascot if you need to. I'm all for it, because that's what we need to go back to, the human. Even in schools, the students should be the first thing we think about when we're making changes, or when we're passing laws. So I love that. Those are big shoes to fill, though. Yeah,
I think so.
we'll get you all the support we can. Now,
Thank
before
you.
we oh, this is amazing. I really, like I said, we'll have to do this again when your book is coming
I
out.
would love
We'll
that
have to
for
sit you
sure.
down, and I'm sure a lot of the parents that are listening are going to want to hear more about your approach to continuing that connection with your teen, and creating these lifelong relationships with our children. But how can people follow you, reach you, if they want to know more about your work, or if they want to work with you? How can they reach you?
Absolutely. And so just before I kind of sign off with my contact information, I just wanted to kind of say that in today's world, there is a lot of crisis, and there is a lot of emotional stress with our youth. But I just want to leave behind this one thought that not every child needs counseling, Right. I mean, there's many children that need counseling for trauma-based work and stuff like that. And it is very important work that, that I do in the community as an addiction counselor. But not all children need counseling, but every child needs life skills, soft skills, right? And that's what I do mostly in Healthy Roots, is that coaching in the soft skill, life skill based mentorship for families as a whole. So that's the one thing that I know for sure is always, I see best results with Healthy Roots in that area. And then there's a special spot in my heart for the counseling part, for the ones that really definitely need it, that I'm available to them in that capacity. So how do you get in touch with me? So my website is www.healthyroots.ca. And I have so much on my website, from blogs to there's videos and resources and that kind of stuff. I also have a Facebook page, Healthy Roots Facebook page, and I have a private moms group too called the Mom Room. In that, I'm always, supporting parents and just providing, additional, information and resources. And I also have a complimentary support group for any parent who wants to join the last Thursday of every month. And that's you can connect on my website to join in. It's just a place, a landing place for support, and just coming together to hear stories and feel supported. So I've got that on the go, and I'm hoping to launch a I'm in the middle of building some podcast resources for parents too, and I'm hoping to launch that as well in the new year. So I've got lots of stuff going on, but most of the area to find me, all my information right now is my website. So that's at healthyroots.ca.
Excellent. And I'll add that to the description so people can refer to as well and go back to it. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. It was a pleasure having you on. It's the beautiful work, very needed work. And
Thank you.
thank you for sharing your wisdom with us today.
Always a pleasure. And everybody who's listening, have a wonderful holiday season, and same to you.
Thank
And
you.
I would love to be back on your show at some point in the future.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll make that happen.
All right, Danielle, thanks so much. And listen, have a great weekend ahead.
Thank you. Yes, you too. And for everybody listening, stay safe, stay awesome. Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening from. And don't forget to follow Jennifer as well. And until next time, we'll talk soon. Bye.